Good morning and welcome. I welcome you all to the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan. I'll be leading worship today. Dorothy Driscoll is our liturgist. Heather Hicks will be celebrating our educational ministries and leading the, especially for children. And Earl Linhart is directing our choir, and Lynn Meyer is playing the organ for us this morning. So thank you to all of them. If you're visiting with us in the sanctuary, I invite you to fill out a welcome card and leave it in one of the offering plates or at the back of the front part of this sanctuary. If you are watching this service from home, I invite you to leave a message on Facebook. And if you want to know more about this congregation, you can call the church office at 614-882-3155. We have several announcements this morning. The flowers this morning are given by Bill and Eleanor Deskins in celebration of their 66th wedding anniversary, officiated here on April 6th by the Reverend Llewellyn Kemmerly. The Fabrics of Faith group will meet on Tuesday, May 24th from 1 to 3 p.m. in the lower level of the church. If you want to find out more about this group, you can contact Cheryl Weinberg. Next Sunday is our Memorial Day Sunday, and we will remember with the tolling of the bell those who have died since our last Memorial Day. And if you have a friend or a family member and you want mentioned next Sunday, please send an email to me or call the church office, and we'll make sure those get mentioned next Sunday. May have noticed that the Uptown Farmers Market began yesterday. We had hoped to open a time for children on our church grounds to entertain the kids that are being dragged to the Farmers Market. Heather was ill in the middle of this week, so we couldn't do all the preparation, but we plan to start that next week. We hope anyway there aren't any other delays, but Heather, we're hoping to do this every Saturday during the summer. It'll be a fun time for everyone, and Heather is looking for people to help her out, so you can talk to Heather. There's a sign-up sheet posted in our gathering area books, and we'd love to have you take a Saturday morning this summer and help us out. Today we are recognizing our graduates, and we will also recognize our educational ministries and those who have ministered to our children over the past year. Following the service, our graduates and their family will join our newer members for a luncheon in the fellowship room downstairs. So that'll be right after the service today. Now let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude.
Thank you. Good morning, and please join me in our call to worship. Our God rules. Now there's something to shout about.
Celebrate the power of our God.
Sons and daughters, sing your hearts out.
God has done it all. God has set everything right.
Our God is the mighty one, creator of the world.
Thanks to our God and Mother.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Please join me in our prayer of approach. God of power and possibilities, we praise your holy name. You have exalted and glorified our beloved Jesus, your Son, who humbled himself out of love and compassion for us. We thank you, Lord, for the possibilities you have opened up for us through your Son. Help us daily to humble ourselves before you, and help us to grow in our capacity to love, so that Christ's prayers will be fulfilled in us. May the world see our love and unity in Christ, and turn to you, ever-loving God. All honor and glory and power be to you, O God,
giver and completer of our faith. Amen.
This is a special Sunday for us and for many families in our church and, of course, in the community and the nation, this being the time of graduations. And we celebrate our graduates here this morning. And there are some that could not be here because of their own graduation schedules, but the Harveys have asked us to mention their grandchildren, Katie Harvey, who's graduating from OSU this spring, and their grandson, Brian Wirtz, who's graduating from Olentangy High School. The Rankins are in New York celebrating or attending Chandler Rankin's graduation from the Fashion Institute of New York. It's exciting. And then we have two graduates that are present with us this morning, and I'm going to invite them to come forward. Sarah Brickersmith, who's graduating, actually has already graduated from the University of Kentucky, and Jack Bates, who will be graduating soon from Westerville South High School. We have some gifts that Heather's been giving to them. Of course, for our high school graduates, we have a tradition, thanks to our Fabrics of Faith, of making a quilt that he can take with him wherever he ends up, and have a tangible symbol of our love surrounding him. So thank you to the Fabrics of Faith people who have bought that. They made this and put it together. So thank you. I'm going to ask the two of them a little bit of what their plans are now that they are graduating. So, Sarah, tell us what your plans are.
So, I graduated from the University of Kentucky with a bachelor's in sports communications, and in August, I will be moving to Tampa, Florida to attend the University of South Florida to get my master's in sports management.
Wow. I am graduating from Westerville South, and then I'll be attending Ohio Wesleyan University for football and baseball and education.
All right. Well, congratulations to both of you. Tampa, huh? You suppose the church would let me to make pastoral calls down to Tampa in the middle of winter? So, let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, for these two fine young people and all our graduates. We thank you that you have watched over them and helped guide them to this point in their life, and we know you will guide them into the future. Help them to discern your will for them and to be your servants even as they pursue their career choices. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you both. I appreciate that. I'm going to call everyone's attention to the especially for children time, and it's also a time for recognize those who work with our children. I'm going to let Heather speak to that.
Well, we still don't have the children all here back with us yet, but I can tell you that they have been watching virtually. We have several families that have been doing that. But we also have several families that have really, really stepped up to the plate to help with CE. And I'm so grateful to them for getting us through COVID, for helping us to communicate with these families, for making sure that kids had fun activities from us, to know that we are still here and we still care about them. And so I want to recognize them for their dedication to helping make sure that even through COVID, we're still reaching these children and families. I want to thank Matt and Nicole Kopich, who have really, really helped us through this time. Matt stepped into this during COVID, and Nicole's been with us the whole way. And so I'm just very grateful to them. They're not here today, but we want to recognize them. I also want to recognize Liz Gowan, if she'd come down for me. Liz was helping out with a CE team before COVID and at the beginning of COVID, and she was very, very helpful and instrumental in us trying to figure out what we were going to do to reach families, and she even lent us her car and her time. So thank you, Liz. We appreciate all your help. Audra Huff is also one who is always had her hand up if there was something that needed to be done, helping out with our youth and our young people in middle school and high school, and she even helped to pass out bags also. I also want to thank Elaine Foley, who is not here. She hasn't been with us since COVID, but she has been in the background helping our adults with our ladies' class, and they've been meeting online via the web, and it's been wonderful, she said, because meeting online, they actually meet people with people who are in Florida and on vacation and all of those, so they still have Bible study. So all kinds of wonderful things have happened because of COVID, and that's just one of them. I also want to say thank you to Todd and Kim Weiss, who Kim was our fearless leader at the beginning of COVID and stepped down partway through COVID. But she and Todd were right there helping us out, getting bags and stuff to everybody. So I want to thank them as well. Kim, you want to come up and get this? And I also want to thank all of our deacons who have kids on their list of families who volunteered or stepped up to the plate when we had bags, so many bags that we didn't know what to do with them all, and they took them to the kids just to make sure that they weren't just seeing one face, they were seeing multiple faces from the church at their door. So I want to say thank you to all of them, and thank you to our whole CE team. Could not have made it through COVID without all of you, so thank you very much. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, we thank you so much for those who step up to the plate when times are challenging and who have a smile on their face and are eager and ready to work. We give you thanks, O God, for them. And we thank you, O God, for our children and our families who mean the world to us and mean the world to you. And we give you thanks, O God, for all of those things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Rising in my day of working.
Thank you, choir and Lynn. That was absolutely beautiful. So our scripture for today comes from Acts 16. It's New Testament, of course, and 9 to 16. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately crossed over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. He set sail from Troas, took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and there to Philippi, which is the leading city in the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we were supposed there was a place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, listened to us, as she was from the city of Thyatira, and a dealer of purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, please come and stay in my home." And she prevailed upon us. That is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Dorothy. I do need to make a note. I left out of our announcements. There is a mistake in your bulletin. The hymn following the sermon is number 307, not 207. So let us pray. Lord God, the Holy Scripture is your gift to us, a gift that we can open and reopen and reopen again. As we open the gift of this passage this morning, may your Spirit guide us in our reflections upon it. Amen. I always enjoy Graduate Recognition Sunday. It's good to see people like Sarah and Jack mark a milestone in their lives. And I'm glad that we get to share in that milestone with you. Congratulations again to both of you who are graduating and going on, and we do wish you a great farewell. I thought, since you all heard they have quite the interest in sports, so I thought I'd begin this morning by talking about football. Okay, Jack, of course, knows all about football because, Jack, you played at Westerville South, and it sounds like you're going to keep playing some. Sarah, given your major and your advanced degree, I'm going to guess that you know a little bit about football. And of course, you went to an SEC school, which is all about football, although your school is about basketball, I know. But Kentucky did have a bit of a football renaissance where you were there, didn't they? We can give you credit for that, right? If they start sinking down to the bottom again after you leave, we will give you credit for their success. So I thought, since both of you know football, I'd talk a little bit about football this morning. The part of football I want to talk about is the audible. The audible, I'm sure as you both know, is when the quarterback calls one play in the huddle and then changes the play right before the ball is hiked. I mean, to give an example, suppose the play is called in the huddle is a run up the middle, but when the quarterback breaks the huddle and goes to the line of scrimmage, he sees two great big hulking linemen, linebackers lined up where that running play is supposed to go. And so what does the quarterback do? He changes the play. He calls an audible. He calls out words and numbers that tell the rest of the team that he is changing the play. And the play, a new play will be run, and they all listen and they know their assignments for the new play. And so perhaps, since it was going to be a run up the middle, he changes it to a run around the end, which would appear much more likely to succeed. I know you're all scratching your heads there on what does this have to do with our scripture this morning. Well, in our passage from Acts, Paul is calling an audible. Well, maybe better said, God is calling an audible for Paul. Paul, as you might remember, was the first great missionary for the church. He was converted on the Damascus Road, and afterwards he went out into the world and preached the good news of Jesus to whomever would listen. He went throughout the Mediterranean world, starting churches and being an ambassador for Christ. In chapter 16, Paul begins another of his famous missionary journeys with plans to go along the coast of Asia, which is present-day Turkey. However, in verse 7 of chapter 16, we read, "When they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them." Now, if you're keeping with my football metaphor, the Spirit of Jesus just lined up to stop the running play Paul had just called. And this is where the audible comes in verses 8 and 9, which begins where Dorothy read this morning. "So, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and during the night Paul had a vision, and there stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.'" And so Paul's plan to go and travel along through Asia was changed by God's audible. Paul had a new set of instructions to stop trying to go to Asia, instead cross over to Macedonia, which is part of Greece at the time, and begin his ministry in Europe. Many of us, I would guess all of us, have been in situations before where we were planning to do something only to have our plans change at the last minute. Sometimes they are minor changes, like planning to go to the pool only to have a storm come up and causes you to spend the day inside. Other times these changes are more significant and we have to adjust our whole life and sometimes even our life plans. High school graduates are making plans to attend college or go into the military or get a job with a local company. College graduates are looking to go to grad school or to start a career in their chosen fields. And we all wish our graduates success in whatever they choose to do. But all of us realize that sometimes we are forced to call an audible. Things don't go as we had hoped. Something or somebody gets in the way, and when that happens, we have to change our plans and go in a new direction. And this is true whether you're a high school graduate or college graduate just beginning in the world, or you are a senior citizen with decades of life experience. It happens to all of us all the time. Plans are made, then plans have to be changed. What we miss, however, is that God is always at work in our lives, calling those audibles that will set us on new paths with new possibilities. I heard Jack mention baseball. I had a friend in college who played baseball. He loved it, and he was pretty good at it. He was so good, in fact, he was invited to try out for a professional baseball team. And I remember when he came back to the dorm how excited he was. He practiced extra hard for the next month so that he was ready when he went off to the tryouts. I still remember the day he came back and the look of dejection that was on his face. He discovered what many young athletes discover, that he might be good, but he wasn't anywhere good enough to make it as a pro baseball player. And so he had to come up with new plans. But then who hasn't had life dreams like that shattered? Maybe you had hopes of getting a certain job. but the company wouldn't hire you. Or maybe you had always wanted to go on a cruise, but you could never afford it. Or maybe you wanted to be first chair in the school band, but somebody always beat you out. Maybe you dreamed that your child would become a doctor, excuse me, only to see him become something else instead. Maybe you always planned on, and you fill in the blank, only to have those plans blocked in some way. And so we can understand Paul's situation. He wants dearly to do his missionary work in Asia, but time and time again he finds his way blocked, and thus Paul is left to figure out what to do. Do you suppose Paul knew the saying, when God closes a door, he opens a window? I doubt it, and yet it seems to apply here, doesn't it? I went to look up this quote and found out it was attributed to Alexander Graham Bell, the inventor of the telephone. However, this quote was slightly different and even more profound, I think, for Bell once said, "When a door closes, another opens. But we often look so long and so regretfully at the closed door that we do not see the one which is opened for us." My baseball playing friend couldn't seem to get over his baseball disappointment. I remember about a year later, a career counselor came to our dorm to talk to us about majors and careers, and my friend raised his hand and basically told the counselor his sad story of failing to make the pro baseball team. And then he asked, "What can I do now?" The counselor listened attentively and then suggested he might consider coaching or getting a job in sports marketing or sports communications so he could be around the sport he loved. But my friend would have none of it. And so he was so set in his dream that all he could say was, "Who wants to do that when you could be out there on the field playing?" He was staring at the closed door, wasn't he? For Paul, the answer to disappointment was to keep going. He couldn't go to Bithynia, so he went down to Troas. And it was there that the Holy Spirit came to him in a dream and directed him to go where he should go next, to Europe. And it was a good thing, too, for it shaped the future of Christianity. One of the pastors I worked with years and years ago used to do some sailing, and he told me once that a sailboat was easy to turn if it was moving. When a sailboat is moving, you can use the rudder and the sails to change direction, but if the boat is standing still, it is almost impossible to turn. It is, as they say, dead in the water. So it is with us as well. Paul kept moving. When he was turned back at one place, he moved on to Troas to try another way. And when he was turned back there, he kept moving, spreading the word as he went. And finally, he found the right direction, the one that God wanted him to go on. And from there, his ministry reached to new lands and new successes. And that seems to be the message for us this morning as well. First, that our plans are not always God's plans for us. And we will discover that our way is blocked one way or another. Second, we can't stand there staring at the closed door, for we will miss the door that God is opening for us. And third, we need to keep moving so that God can turn us in the direction God wants us to go. And then fourth, and it may take several disappointments, before we find the way that God wants us to go. And finally, Paul's story reminds us that when we find ourselves listening to God's audible, we will find that God's plans are really worth pursuing. Amen.
Please stand while we do the affirmation of faith. What is our chief end of humanity? What is the chief end of humanity?
Our chief end is glorified and God of our
forever. What rule has God given to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy God?
The Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy God.
What do the Scriptures principally teach? What is God?
God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth.
And let us join in hymn 307, as Mark has corrected.
Please be seated. As we come together in prayer, we want to lift up those who are in particular need of prayer. And of course, we want to include our graduates and their families as they celebrate at this time. Let us take a moment and offer our personal prayers to God, and I'll lead in our common prayers. Let us pray. O Lord, hear our prayers. All creation lives to praise you, O God. As the earth yields its blessing, may we honor and protect the precious gifts of nature and give thanks for the beauty and the healing and the sustenance it provides for all. O Lord, we wait for the renewal by your Spirit. You bless your church throughout all the ages with leaders like Paul and Lydia to share in the spreading of the gospel. Give your church this day a profound sense of the mission to which you now call us for the life and health of the world. And may your Spirit once again come and inspire your church. Lord, you judge the people with equity and guide the nations of the earth. Give to all the leaders and all the people of the world the gift of wisdom and the spirit of peace, that we may walk by your light as we serve the common good. We pray particularly for our Presbyterian brothers and sisters in California whose fellowship was violated by gunfire last weekend. May your Spirit descend upon them, bringing comfort and overcoming fear. You promise to be with us, O God. You promise to provide comfort to us by your Holy Spirit. Give to all who suffer, all who grieve, all who are in pain, all who are broken. Give to them an enduring trust in Jesus, that joy will rise again. We especially offer up our prayers on behalf of those whom we've mentioned this morning and those who live in our hearts. We ask now for the peace that only you can give. We give thanks for the many blessings of our lives, that as we follow Jesus, he journeys with us day by day through the presence of your Holy Spirit, our advocate and teacher. Amen. And now let us join together in the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now I invite you to all rise and join in our congregational response. Wonderful person here did not jump up and down and wave her hands when I stepped on her part of the service, but she has a message I think for all of us to hear.
Thank you, and you'll all be happy to know that this really will be just a minute for mission. This year, Gene and I were asked to help with a scholarship committee, and one of the things we were surprised to learn is that our biggest challenge is giving away enough money. The last 2 years, we had no scholarship applications. This year, I'm pleased to say we have two so far, but we would like it to be better than that, bigger than that. We have a lot of money to give away. And we would like for our committee to be more like Oprah. You get a scholarship, and you get a scholarship, and you get a scholarship. So please apply. We've looked at things we could do to improve the process. We no longer are requiring letters of recommendation. It's really, it's not a competitive process anyway, so that was something, just extra hoops to jump through. We also have expanded the scope So it's not just degreed programs. If you're looking at a trade school, you're in career and want to take some kind of certification or continuing education classes, we can help with that. And we do ask for a grade transcript. That's something that we talked about for some, you know, in career people. If you don't have a grade transcript and you can't prove what you got in Spanish in 1971, don't laugh. I was in Spanish in 1971. It'll be okay. We'll make that work. So that's all I wanted to say. The applications are out by the bulletins. They are due by June 15th. You do have to write an essay, but it's only 2 pages. I have faith you can do it. And the awards, the scholarships will be awarded in July. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. And now let's all rise for the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Amen and amen.